hope you have felt the presence of God today already. I hope you will be open to hearing from Him today. And when we come to the end today, we call it ministry time. No one's going to put you on the spot or try to manipulate you in any way, but the altar will be open for prayer, for you to come and pray. And if you want someone to pray with you, they'll pray with you about the things that are going on in your life. Anybody need prayer here today? Okay. Yes, we do. And the people in our families. Now, I also want to give you a warning about today's message. It's going to be a little bit like machine gun fire today, okay? As much as Brother Dusty can go fast, he's going to go fast. That's not my particular gift in life. I talk slow, I think slow, I act slow a lot of times. But today, I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures at you, a lot of things today. And I'll go ahead and tell you that if you'll put it on your card, I'll email you a copy of this sermon, give you the exact notes that I have here while I'm preaching. In fact, any Sunday you want those, they're available to you if you'd like to have them. In fact, you can have these when I'm done with them today. Because we want you to be able to remember these things because we believe they're very timely things for us. Now, we've been looking for the last several weeks at biblical values that shape the future. In particular, values that we believe are necessary for us to have as believers, and in particular in this body of Christ, this local body of believers. We've looked at simplicity. We've looked at flexibility. Today, we're going to look at a value that's very, very important. It's the value of community. Community. Now, there's one scripture I want you to see as we begin today. It comes out of Acts chapter 2, in verse 44. It says, "And all the believers were together, and they shared everything." Now, I want to begin with a little diss on the American church. Good to see you, Al. Welcome. Glad you're here today. Most Americans think of church as something that happens 1 hour a week when they gather together in a large group. Right? But is that what God designed and desired church to be? You're going to describe this today. And this verse that we shared this morning as we begin, this is right after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come in power on the church. He has thrown them out into the city. There are all those Jews there that have come from all over the world, and then they're going to go out from that place. Thousands come to know Jesus. They're filled, they're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they go out from that place in power, and God manifests Himself in great ways. And this is one of the descriptors. All the believers, they were together, and they shared everything. Now let's get a couple of definitions here. What is community? Well, a secular definition is this: a group joined together by a common place, purpose, or position. Think of all, you live in a community. That was the community of musicians that blessed us down at the park today. We have a garden community. Our city is like a community. The academic community. Think of all the ways that you use that word as a group that's joined together by a common place, purpose, or position. Now, let's see a spiritual definition of it. It is God and His people joined together with one another for God's eternal purposes. Once you come into the community of faith, into relationship with Jesus, when do you stop being a part of the community of God? How long does it last? How long do His purposes last? Forever. This is big stuff, coming into His community. Now here's a passage of Scripture I want us to look at together. It's probably the defining passage about community and this value that is... And let me tell you today, we're not going to exhaust it today, okay? It's not going to be... I'm not going to today say, well, that's all we can... That's in our hearts about community today. Because even as the Lord was putting this sermon on my heart... It was just so, it was like overtime. It was just, for this one sermon that I preached today, there were five others I've got in my heart that I'd like to preach. Not going to preach all those today, but this is the one for today. But this passage, this is from Jesus' high priestly prayer. This is probably the Lord's prayer. Now, I know we're talking about the Lord's model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, but... This is probably what would be described as the Lord's Prayer. And I just picked out part of it, didn't get all of it. I encourage you this afternoon, when you get your Bible, and read the rest of John 17. And see what God will speak to you there. Hear what He says. I am praying not only for these disciples, ones present physically here with me, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. Who does that include? Everybody from that time forward. All who would ever believe. So right here we need to see Jesus interceding to the Father for us. Specifically, for us. You follow me now? My prayer for all of them, all that will believe, is that they will be one just as you and I are one. Okay, now let's get that. Just like Jesus and the Father are one, they're really together, aren't they? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all really together, aren't they? There's a oneness. There's a unity. There's a oneness. It's one God, but He's expressed in three persons. That kind of unity, He's saying, that's what I'm praying for you guys, for us, today. That just as you are in me, Father is in Jesus, and I am in you, Jesus is in the Father, so they, that's all of us, will be in us. Woo! Man. And the world will believe that you sent me. Do you see this? He's gone from all of this oneness, this unity, He's gone outside of that so that the world will see that. It's a testimony. You can't help but it be a testimony. That kind of power, that kind of unity, you can't hold it back. It's not something you have to get an ad agency to help you with. It just oozes out of every pore of who you are and what you're about. It's the way you buy your groceries. It's the way you go to Walmart. It's the way you spend time at Starbucks. It's the way you cut your grass. It's never the same. Because there's a oneness with God. There's a community. And the world will believe that you sent me. Verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Whoa! What does he mean by that? I've given them the glory? Have you felt the glory in your life? I'm telling you, there's sometimes in prayer, there's sometimes in worship where you feel like you've just stepped over. Like, wait a second. He just gave me a little peek of heaven. Of that oneness with him. So that they may be one as we are one. I and them, you and me, all being perfected, word there, perfect means being made complete into one, then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me. Wow! God really loves us as much as he loves his own son? It kind of makes John 3:16, for God so loved the world, take on a brand new meaning, doesn't it? Are you following me so far? We together. Okay. Initial passage. We're going to look at some more. So, why do we need community? Why do we need it? Well, it's the way God wired you and me. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. That man was lonely. He needed a companion. He needed God with, say it, Pam.
Skin on.
With skin on. Think of that. And ever since, and I know women understand this better than men. You know how I know that? Because I know many women who have taken it on as their lifelong calling to make sure that every man finds the woman that he is supposed to spend the rest of his life with. Are you following me? Some of you a little slow on uptake here. Come on now. Come on. Don't slow down on me now. This is the way you're wired. God wired you for community. He wired you in this way that there's an empty space within you that nothing short of him is going to fill that space. He's wired you so that you are not an island. You need a connection. Jesus with skin on. Secondly, why do we need it? It's God's way. John 17:11. Now I'm departing the world, Jesus saying this. Also in that great chapter, need to go back and read it today. I'm leaving them behind and coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them and care for them and all those you have given me so that they will be united just as we are. Do you see? This is God's way. This is God's desire. All this garbage about that the world's going to tell you, oh, God just wants to keep you at arm's length. He's doing all this stuff to keep you away. No! He's doing all this stuff to bring you in. He did the greatest thing of all when he sent his son, didn't he? And before he sent his son, all the prophets that went before, all those invitations. Think of the invitations you've had in your life. Now that you can look back on those invitations where God was saying, come on, I want to speak to you. I love you. I want to spend time with you. All right? Number three, in answer to this question, why do we need community? It's the cry of our soul. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says this. As the deer pants. Remember this? This is just beautiful. Beautiful. And I've got it in the New Living here today, but read it in the King James. It's beautiful in every translation you read it in. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and stand before Him? That thirst you have in your soul, it's not for more stuff. It's not for more of this world. It's for God. He wants to come and be with you. And you be with Him. And you be with His people. Number four, why do we need community? Well, our circumstances demand it. Whew. We'll read this passage from Ephesians 6. Talks about our circumstances. We're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realm. Our circumstances. We're in a war. Do you know what the world is trying to do to your soul? To your spirit? To crush you. Think of the circumstances that just this past week could have crushed you. The bad news. All the garbage that's visited upon you. All the stuff that goes on in the world. And yet here's the Lord saying, I know you're in a battle. You're in a battle for your soul. And you need community. You need to be with me and with each other. All right, another question. Why is community so important to God? Well, first answer to that, it models the nature of God. Hear this from Matthew 11. My Father has given me authority over everything. No one really knows the Son except the Father. No one really knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Do you see this? That intimacy of nature and that God is choosing us? This is His very nature. He's choosing us to be part of Him and part of what He's doing in the earth and part of His eternal purposes that He's after. Secondly, why is it so important to God? It invites His presence, and I added the word naturally, because there's a lot of folks that think you've got to go around, stand on your head, and do all kinds of stuff before you can say, oh, God's present here. All this religious mumbo-jumbo. Now, it's meaningful if it's meaningful. Boy, that's a profound statement, isn't it? It's meaningful if it means something. But if it doesn't mean anything, you can be like the prophets of Baal and dance around the altar. Or you can be as academic as you want to be. You want to sit there like in reverence, or whatever style, I can parody any style of worship and say to you, there are flaws in every one of them, because if the style gets in the way of God, it's not worship. And God uses all kinds of styles, doesn't He? All kinds of avenues. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? Acts 4:13. No, back up. hadn't read this one yet. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had what? They'd been with Jesus. Do you see how natural this is? And here they are before these religious leaders. These guys, they're grilling them. And, you know, they've not had no emissary go before them. They've not had the ad campaign and let me show you my resume. They just came in there naturally. Here they were. Just like that. And what did these guys see? Jesus. Naturally. Using your personality. Who you are. I remember hearing people give testimonies when I was a kid. Would come in our church. And I found myself, when I felt the presence of God, God speaking through some of them, I thought, man, I want to be just like them. So the next week, what was I doing? I had to get a Bible like they had. I had to wear clothes like they did. I had to talk like they did. But you know, that wasn't it. That missed it, didn't it? All right. Third answer to that question, why is community important to God? It models His design and purpose of life. John 17, again. My prayer for all of them is they will be one, just as you are one and I are one, Father. That just as you're in me and I'm in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe that you sent me. You see, God's design and desire. Here is Jesus intimately talking to His Father. And we've got the best seat in the house. That's His desire. That word, that's His desire. Number four. Why is community so important to God? Well, it's a warm-up. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of warm-up that my granddaddy used to say. He'd say, that's why it's so hot in Savannah. He said, God's just preparing people for where they're going to spend eternity. That's not the kind of warm-up I'm talking about. I'm talking about the other kind of warm-up. Don't quote me on that one. But that was a great quote, by the way. John 14:3. Here's Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Is He coming again? Amen. He's coming again. He's come one time. He came in on the donkey then. He's not coming back on a donkey. He's not coming that way again. He came as a suffering servant then. He's not coming as a suffering servant when He comes again. He's coming as the reigning, ruling Lord of heaven and earth. He's coming again. He is preparing us to spend eternity with Him. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What He's saying is, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. See why community is so important to Him? He's just warming us up. Well, it's going to be forever. Number five. Why is it so important to God? It means that you're hearing from God. Ooh, listen to this one. From John 10. But you don't believe me because you're not part of my flock. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. No one will snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me. He is more powerful than anyone else. So no one can take them from me. The Father and I are one. And by implication, what does that mean about the relationship with the sheep with the Father? They're also one. My sheep hear what? My voice. Community, when we're dwelling in community with God and with each other, that means we're hearing from God Himself. He's speaking. And He's speaking sometimes in a voice that isn't even audible. He's speaking in the picture of community. Was it St. Francis of Assisi that said, go out and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words? Okay. So what does community look like? Here's just a few things it looks like. It looks like a flock. One picture of community in the New Testament. Jesus asked Simon Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, said Peter. Then take care of my sheep. The Lamb of God who comes to take care of the sin of the world. We're a flock. That's one picture of, and where does a flock go? Where does a flock go? Anybody? Wherever the shepherd leads the flock. Why? They know his voice, they trust him. And what's a sheep going to do with a wolf? Be dinner. Unless the shepherd intervenes. And what does the shepherd do with the wolf? Man, it busts his head wide open with that. Pow! Let me tell you, I had a dog going after my oldest child when he was just a little boy. Dog was over here and the dog was just foaming at the mouth, teeth, everything, you know, going after. And I was over here. And as I was running to that dog, I wasn't thinking about that dog's teeth. I was thinking about my little sheep that I had charge over. And you know what I wanted to do with that dog? I was going to kill him. I was going to kill him. Whatever it took, just like that. That's how Jesus feels about you. Number two. What's it look like? It looks like a body. Human body has many parts, but many parts make up one body. So it is with Christ. All the parts. How many parts of the body can you do away with and not affect the body? Let me tell you today. Get rid of your little toe. And what do you have to do? You have to learn how to walk all over again. Ask anybody that's ever lost a little toe. You have to walk all, have to learn it all over again. Every part of the body is important. Won't chase that too far today. Illustration of the body. Number three. It looks like family. Looks like family. You should be like one big happy family, full of sympathy toward each other, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. The family of God. That's how God pictures us, as he's inviting us into his family, and we invite one another into this family. And we're to treat one another as family. Number four. It looks like a fellowship. They continue steadily learning, teaching of the apostles, and join in fellowship. Being joined together. The word there, the Greek word, is the word koinonia. It's this fellowship. It's the root from which this whole concept of community comes. It's being joined together as a fellowship that is bound together with the same purpose and position and possession in Christ. Number five, what does it look like? Well, it looks like a church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place, church, the ecclesia, the ek, out of, klesia, the called. They were the called out ones in the name of Jesus. They'd been called out by God to be part of it. And look where he called them from. No, we don't have to look at them, just look at us. Look where he called us from. Man, what a group of people. I say this to you all the time. Nowhere else in this culture will you find a group as wide as this group that is here this morning in this one building with the same purpose and the same heart. Okay. So what's the cycle of community? Well, If I could have drawn better with my little drawing program, I would have shown you this in a better way, but that's another story. Not one of my gifts. Okay, cycle of community. God comes to men. And note, I said they're men, not man. We've got a screwy idea in America that spirituality is this, it's just all about me. God speaks to us. He doesn't speak to me out of context from you. So God comes to men, women, us, human beings. Then what happens? Then men respond to God and accept His invitation. Come into that family. Then what happens? Then God speaks to other men, and men who have been spoken to by God speak to other men. So now you got this double team thing going on. See all the circles that are happening? God speaks to men. Men speak back to God. Then God speaks to other men over here, and these men that have already been spoken to by God, they're speaking to these men about God, and then the next one. And then other men come back to God. Do you see this constant cycle of community that's going on that you cannot break? When you break it, you are out of the will of God. Do you understand that? How important it is to respond to God and respond to His people. You've got to do it if you're going to reflect the image of God. Who He is. Who He wants you to be. So what can I do? Need to examine our present relationships. Take inventory. Ask God to speak to you about this today. Is He already speaking? Number two, start where God's put you. Look around you. Where's He put you? What are the relationships He's given you? Who's He put in your life? What does He want to say to you? And how are you going to know that unless you're spending time in this book and in prayer with Him and with His people? Three. Open yourself to relationships in the body of Christ, in His church. How are you sealing yourself off? God's not called you to an individual Christianity. Did you hear me? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. Oh, I've just got my relationship with Jesus. It's okay. Hogwash. That's not in this book. That's nowhere in this book. It doesn't exist. That's heresy. He's called us into a body with others. We need them. And they need us. You know, we only have 52 weeks in a year. That means there are 52 Sundays that we can join together in worship. Only 52. 365 days. And 52 of those we can join together on a Sunday on the first day of the week and worship Him in the large group. That's one wing of the church over here. And so when we think, oh, they don't miss us. Who doesn't miss you? Did God miss you? When you're not part of the body, part of the body is away. Remember when 9/11... You know, first thing that I did, I found out where everybody that was closest to me and my family were. And I wanted them to be with me. But see, God is, we're having crises in our lives every day, and we need each other. That's the reality. There's a 9/11 every day, and we need each other. How are we sealing ourselves off from each other? Number four, nothing you can do. You didn't get in a life group. This is the large group expression of the body of Christ. There's also a small group expression of the body of Christ. And right now, that's the place where the church has grown the most in the world today. It's not through the big meetings. It's been through the small. It's how the church stayed alive in mainland China. That's how the church is growing in other oppressed areas in the world. And we have all these privileges and don't exercise them. We need one another. We need to be in a small group where people know us and we know them, and we can walk together in community. Hey, when you need someone to help you out, are you sealed off from people? And can't you see the wisdom of God? How do you arrange this? You look in the book of Acts, they met in these small groups, and then they would come together in a big group. And all of this community, this being joined together. What a beautiful picture. Finally, there's something else you can do. Prepare those, yourself, and those connected to you for the next season of God's time clock. And it has begun. Somewhere, I believe in my heart, you can argue with me and I'll talk with you. We can get together and I'll give you all my reasons why I believe this. But I believe this in my heart. Somewhere between a year ago and 2 years ago, a page turned. And we're on a different time clock now in this world. Tick, 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 it's happening. And God is working in the earth, and He is bringing things to a conclusion. And when's that going to happen? I don't know. But I know it's different today. And there's an urgency. And what better time to be living out the body of Jesus, showing the relationship of Jesus with the Father as we relate to one another and allow Jesus to relate to us. What a beautiful picture. Do you need Him? Be careful how you answer that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for speaking to us today, for speaking to me. And Lord, we've been a lot of places today in this message. We've looked at a lot of scriptures. I hadn't even counted them, Lord, but there's a bunch today. We've read Your Word. We've dived into the middle of it and allowed You to speak to us. And I'm trusting You, Spirit of God, right now, that You're going to reveal to our hearts what we need to be praying about. Lord, as we open this time of prayer, God, I'm praying for anyone who's never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, that this will be the time they do that. The crucified and risen Lord Jesus, who's willing to come into our lives and give us a new life. I'm praying as a body of Christ that we can live out this community that we've been talking about. We've been reading your word about so plain, Lord. I ask you today, you'll speak to us. Lord, there are many needs represented here today. And others, Lord, that couldn't be with us today. God, we pray for them. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, right now, for your power to come. We love you. Well, we open the altar now. Come, Holy Spirit. Be sure and greet one another as you go. Go in grace. I love you. Bless God. We're done.